Wow, it's good to see all of you here today. And we welcome our kids that are with us in the service today. And we love the children here at Spirit Life Church. And from time to time, we had that opportunity to do a family worship day where we just say, hey, kids, come on in and get a glimpse of what big church is going to be like, because one of these days you're going to be leading this. And so they get a chance to just experience this, and you as parents get a chance to just be a part of worshiping with your kids at your side today. Praise the Lord. Well, I was reading the story recently of a man who saw an advertisement in the newspaper for a trained police dog, and it was for sale for just $25. The guy said, wow, trained police dog for only $25. That sounds like a real deal. I think I'm gonna take that up. And so he contacts the guy. Yeah, I want to buy the dog. And so they bring the dog over to his house. The door of the car opens up, and out jumps this mangy, ugly-looking mutt. And the guy looks at the dog, and he's like, man, there is no way that's a trained police dog. And the guy says, don't be deceived. This guy worked undercover. You know, sometimes things just don't turn out maybe the way that you thought they would. You ever thought you were going to get a bargain and it didn't turn out the way that you expected? You ended up getting a lemon or something. I heard another story about a cowboy who was needing a new horse, and so he went to a horse trader, and he's got all these horses in the stables, and he's walking around, and the guy's telling him about these different horses, and out of the corner of his eye, he looks across the stable, and he sees this horse that's like the most beautiful horse he's ever seen. I mean, just gorgeous. And he can't even hear the trader talking to him about this particular horse that is standing in front of him, because all he can do is see this other horse. And finally he interrupts the guy and says, listen, I know this is probably a great horse, but how much do you want for that horse over there? And the guy turns and looks at the horse and he says, oh, that horse? He said, I'll take $10 for that horse. It's like $10. Man, there's no way. I mean, this story must have been written a long time ago, because that horse looks like it would be a $100 horse for sure. And I normally I'm a horse dealer. I'm a trader. I want to kind of bargain and get a good deal. But man, I'd feel bad offering you any less than $100 for that horse. And the guy says, listen, he said, I'm telling you, the horse is $10, but you don't want him. He said, what do you mean I don't want him? Why wouldn't I want that horse? He said, well, he just don't look so good. He said, well, what are you talking about? He don't look so good. I've been looking at horses all my life. This horse has got perfect conformation. He's shiny and beautiful and long flowing mane and tail. I mean, this is one of the most beautiful horses I've ever seen. The guy says, I'm telling you, you don't want this horse. He really just doesn't look so good. And the guy says, no, I want the horse. And he says, well, listen, the most I'll take for him is $10. I feel like I'm cheating you if I take any more than that. So the guy says, fine, I'll give you the $10. So he gives him the $10. He can't believe it. He's got the bargain of a lifetime. He loads up the horse. He takes off. Later on that afternoon, the cowboy comes back to the horse trader again, and he is upset. And he walks, he says, what kind of a outfit are you running here? He says, you know, you sold me that horse this morning. He said, yeah, I know. And he says, and I took him home and unloaded him, saddled him up, took him out for a ride, and he ran into everything on the trail, bumped into trees, everything. He says, sir, you sold me a blind horse. And the guy says, I told you he didn't look so good. You know, that's sometimes the story of our lives, isn't it? You know, you're looking for the bargain, you're looking for a deal, and things really don't turn out the way you want. But how many of you have figured out that there are some things in life that it's worth every dime you pay to get it? It's worth the price. There are certain things that you're not going to get a bargain on it, but it's worth everything that you'll pay in order to get it. Today, the title of my message is The Price Tags of Life, and I want to go to something that Jesus teaches us about Christianity, about relationship with Him, about what it's going to cost if we're going to be a real disciple of Jesus Christ. And in Luke chapter 14, and I just kind of pick up midway through some stories that Jesus is telling there, But in verse 28, he says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and then's not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he's able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he's not able, he'll send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has, somebody say everything he has. In the same way, any one of you who does not give up everything he has, somebody say that again. What? Everything he has cannot be my disciple. Wow, that's pretty strong, Jesus. I mean, like, everything? Jesus is everything. Everything, Jesus is everything. Well, let's pick it up, because he picks up on this same idea later on in Matthew chapter 13. Let's look at verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold, say it with me, all he had and bought that field. There it is again. He sold all he had, everything that he had, and he goes and he buys the field. But I want you to see here, because Jesus gives us a little glimpse into what he's getting. He says that when he found this treasure in this field, he knew the value of it. And so it says that with great joy, he sold everything that he had in order to buy the field. He understood the value of what he was getting, and there was no price that he would have to pay that he thought was too great of a price in order to have that treasure. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold, say it with me, everything he had and bought it. Jesus is wanting us to understand something about the value of things in life, and that there are certain things that even though it might cost you everything, it's worth it all. I am what some people might call a fiscal conservative. That's a nice way to put it. I'm a fiscal conservative. Oftentimes, any of you who've ever gotten an email from me or something, you might see that oftentimes what I'll do is, instead of signing my name Pastor Tommy, I just put the initials there, PT, for Pastor Tommy. And some years ago, before I became the senior pastor, because when you're senior pastor, you got to be nice all the time, right? But before I became the senior pastor, I was the executive pastor. And then I had to control the finances and the money, and you know, and I found out that there were some people on staff who I'm sure lovingly renamed PT. It was no longer Pastor Tommy, but they said that it stands for Pastor Tightwad. So I'm glad I'm the senior pastor now. I'm not Pastor Tightwad anymore, But, you know, I like a good deal. I mean, I like to get a bargain. I'm a bit of a horse trader. If I can, you know, get 10 cents off, I'm like, woohoo, got 10 cents off. Yay. Looking for the deal of a lifetime, right? But then there's certain things that you come across and you realize that, you know, I'm not necessarily sure that I'm willing to pay the price for that. See, oftentimes there are these decisions, these choices that we have to make in life. We're going through life, and I'm not just talking about walking through a flea market or walking through the mall or, you know, scrolling across Amazon. I'm talking about just life in general, beyond the physical stuff, that there are other things in life, like our health or relationships or spiritual matters, and you realize that there is a price attached to everything. And a lot of times we say, well, I really want that. I really want to be a spiritual man of God. I really want that. Are you willing to pay the price? Or I really want to be healthy. And I think everybody in this room says, yeah, I really do. I want to be healthy. I want to weigh the right amount. I want to be able to walk, you know, without, you know, collapsing. I want to be healthy. And then some of us are like, but I'm not sure I'm willing to get up at 6:30 in the morning and do whatever. I'm not sure that I'm willing to change my diet. I'm not sure that I'm willing to pay the price. And that's true of spiritual matters as well. And sometimes people come to Christianity and they come to church and they're like, I really like what I see. And I think that looks like it would be great. And I'd like to be a Christian, yeah. But they're not really understanding the full price of Christianity, because Jesus is saying here, if you're going to follow me, and if you're going to be my disciple, here's the price. I want to tell you up front. I don't want you to start building a building and then not have enough to finish it. I don't want you to go off the war and then lose halfway through. I don't want you to see a pearl of great price or a treasure in a field and think that you want it and then not realize what it's going to cost you. I'm telling you up front what it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you everything. Let me just be real clear. It's going to cost you everything. It's going to cost all that you have. Jesus had a man that came to him one day. He was a rich man. And he said, I want to know what I have to do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus says to the guy, well, here's what you got to do. You got to keep the laws, keep the commandments, do this, do that. And the guy says, hey, I've been doing that ever since I was a kid. And Jesus says, okay, one more thing that you need to do, and that is sell everything that you have. Give it to the poor, and then come follow after me. And it says that the guy went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. He wasn't willing to pay the price. Somehow he thought that what Jesus was asking of him was too great of a price, and he turned around and he walked away from it. There was another occasion where, I mean, Jesus doesn't sugarcoat it when it comes to the price of the gospel, what it means to be a disciple. He doesn't try to water it down. He doesn't try to say, well, if you'll just do, you know, you don't have to do that much, but you need to at least be in the light, as, you know. Now, he doesn't water it down. In fact, on one occasion, he's got a multitude of people in front of him. I mean, it's a packed crowd. Kind of, you know, like, you guys look great today. I mean, full house. And Jesus is preaching to the full house. And he starts saying this stuff that's really hard to hear about following him. And people start walking away. I mean, they're just getting up and walking out. I don't think they were just going to the bathroom. They were walking away for good. And when it was all over with, Jesus turns around and looks, and he's just got 12 people standing there, his disciples, and he looks at them, and this is what he says. He says, man, I am so sorry. I shouldn't have made it so hard on everybody else. If you guys would just love me and don't leave me, and if you'll just stay here with me, I'll reduce the cost of being a disciple. No, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus looked at them, and he said, are you going to go away too? Because you got a choice. And the price is, I've identified what it is. Are you going to walk away as well? And they said, to whom else shall we go? You've got the words of eternal life. In other words, whatever it's going to cost us, it's worth it to follow you, Jesus. See, we're living in a world today, and I just want to be real with you today, where there's a lot of folks that are trying to water down Christianity, and they're trying to make it less than what it really is, just so that they can kind of like, come on and join us and be a part. And oh, you don't want it to cost you everything? Well, hey, we've got this bargain discount Christianity that, you know, you can kind of like a buy one, get one free sale on Christianity, and you don't have to pay as much as you normally would, and it won't cost you as much, and yet you can still have it. Listen, there's too many Christians today that are like knockoff Gucci watches or Rolex watches and Gucci handbags or whatever. They're just knockoffs. They look good on the outside, but when you open them off on the inside, you realize that they're not the real deal. Listen, I'm asking for the folks who come to this church, you're going to be Spirit Life, love Jesus, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Sell out to everything. Go to the cross. Die to sin. Die to self. Die to all of it. And say, I want the whole package. I want everything that Jesus has for me. And there's nothing that he's going to ask of me that is too great a price, even if it costs me everything that I have. That's the kind of Jesus that I want to have. That's what it means to be a real disciple. Jesus says, if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to have to be willing to take up a cross. Take up a cross and follow after me. That's tough stuff, taking up a cross to follow after Jesus. Let me see if I can help with a working definition of a disciple for just a moment. If you put that up on the screen, what a disciple is. A disciple is a vital, functioning, maturing, reproducing follower of Jesus Christ. I want you to do a quick examination. This is just a test. You're not testing the person beside of you. You're testing yourself. How do you measure up to that? Are you vital? Are you full of life? Functional? Are you doing the stuff that Christians ought to be doing? Are you maturing? That doesn't mean you're perfect yet, but you're on the road and you're more like Jesus today than you were a year ago. Are you reproducing? Ooh, that's a tough one, isn't it? Are you reproducing others? Are you leading other people to Jesus? Are you discipling others? That's a part of being a disciple, is that I'm reproducing that in the lives of other people. Maybe it's as a parent, you're reproducing that in your kids and you're living Jesus in front of them enough that they know that it's real. Or maybe you're reproducing Jesus in front of your coworkers or where you go to school or with your friends that you hang out and they've seen the life in you enough that they're like, I want what you've got. And you're introducing people to Jesus. You're taking advantage of things like Superhero Sunday and you're going, hey, I'm going to invite somebody to come because I believe that they can meet Jesus and then I'm going to follow up with them and just disciple them. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? That's what a disciple is. Now, I want to clarify something. Because I think sometimes we've got the idea that there's a difference in being a disciple and being a Christian. And here's what I mean about the difference. It's kind of like being in the army and being in the Green Berets in the army. I think there are some people who think that discipleship is like the Green Beret level of Christianity. That's for the real gung-ho folks that really want it. For, you know, they're willing to really pay the price. But that's not how it works. Christianity is discipleship. And discipleship is Christianity. And if you are a Christian, you are a disciple. If you are a disciple, you are a Christian. If you are a Christian and you're not a disciple, then you're really not a Christian. You know, being a Christian is that's the term we use most of the time. We want to emphasize people becoming Christians. We want you to become a Christian. You think that if that's so important and we emphasize it so much, it must be all throughout the Bible. How many times do you think that the word Christian is found in the New Testament? Surely it must be in there a bunch, right? Surprise, surprise. 3 times. Look it up for yourself. 3 times the word Christian is found in the New Testament. But how many times does disciple occur? 269 times. 269 times disciple, disciple, disciple. 3 times Christian. The Bible says in Acts chapter 11 that they were first called disciples at Antioch. That's one of the or first called Christians at Antioch. That's one of the uses of the word Christian. They were first called Christians at Antioch. What does that say? In other words, they were being Christians as disciples of Jesus to the point that everybody looked at them and said, you are being like Christ. You are obviously his disciple. You're obviously his learner. You're becoming what he taught you to become. And they saw it so real that they said, you are like Christ. You disciples are like Christ. That's what the word Christian means, like Christ. See, I want to just knock this thing out from under anybody who's willing to try to think that somehow you get to be a second-class Christian without being a disciple. I'm just throw that away. There is no second-class Christian who's a Christian, they're going to heaven, but they're not a disciple. You've got to be a disciple if you're going to follow Jesus. Am I being a little too hard this morning on you guys? Because this is what the Bible is teaching, and this is what Jesus is saying. And he's saying, if you're going to be my follower, if you're going to be like me, if you're going to be one of mine, then you got to deny yourself. You got to give up everything and follow Jesus. But I want you to understand that it's worth it. It is worth it. The guy that found the field and the treasure in the field, he knew what the value of the treasure was. And he's like, I'm hiding this, and I'm going to buy the field, and then I get to get what's in the field, and I know what's in there, and it is going to be worth everything I've got, and then some. And he did it with great joy. The guy that's looking for the pearl of great price, he finds this pearl that's better than anything he's ever seen. He's an expert at it. And he's like, man, I'm willing to sell everything, all the old pearls that I purchased that I thought were good. I'm selling all of that in order to have this one because he understands the value of it. And I want to tell you that while Jesus makes the price high, everything that you've got, I want to tell you it is worth it to follow Jesus. What he brings into your life, the peace, the joy, the fulfillment, the purpose, eternal life, heaven, all of the things that come, whatever you pay to give it up all in order to follow Jesus, it is worth it. You say, Pastor, pretty soon you're going to have to get to some good stuff or we're all walking away from here. I'm not sure if anybody's going to even want to be a Christian. You're making it sound so tough. Maybe there are people thinking, well, I'll just be a sinner. That sounds like it's a whole lot easier. Actually, it's not. Actually, it's not. Because you see, the devil wants us to know that there's a big price if you're going to follow Jesus. And he doesn't tell you there's a big price to let sin reign in your life. Because the wages of sin is death. Sin in your life is costly. There is a price tag on sin. And the enemy doesn't want you to see that. The enemy doesn't want you to know that. But there is a huge price tag on sin. And there are a lot of people who are thinking, well, you know, so far I'm doing pretty good. So far, you know, it's working out all right. I think I'm about as happy as everybody else around that goes to church. Well, so far. But in the book of Galatians, God says, be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that he's also going to reap. And so if you're sowing sin in your life, it's going to produce even more sin and more destruction and more pain. And it is coming. Jack, who teaches in our Spirit Life Institute in our formations class, he was talking this past Wednesday night. I was over in the foundations class. So I'm retelling his story without actually having heard it. So I'm going to tell my version of the story. Jack, it may not have anything to do with what you said. But according to what I imagine the story to be, Jack bought a piece of property some years ago, and it had a little small patch of what people from North Carolina call sand spurs. I understand that you Oklahomans call them sand burrs, right? You know what they are? Yeah. And those things, you step on them in a bare foot, you're going to know about it, right? And you don't want them in your yard. You don't want them anywhere close to you. And Jack had this patch that he was mowing, and he was scattering them, and they were reproducing more and more. And he finally said, what do I have to do to get rid of them? And he found out, well, what you got to do is you got to pull them up by the root to get rid of them. Listen, I want to tell you that sin's like those sand spurs. and you keep letting them grow, they're just going to keep spreading. And year after year after year, they're going to be causing more and more pain in your life. But if you'll grab it by the root and rip it up out of the root, let the Holy Spirit get rid of the sin in your life, get rid of the sin, get it by the root, get it gone, get rid of it. It's not an immediate thing. I think Jack said it took him a number of years working on those sand spurs before he finally got it down to where maybe no sand spurs at all, or maybe only a rare occasion that you see one. Listen, it takes some time and some effort, and we got to deal with it. But I'm telling you today, you need to deal with sin in your life. I don't want you to be one of the Christians that's wearing the Christian t-shirt, but when somebody sees what's on the inside, it's rotten and full of sin, and you're just a knockoff Rolex Christian. I want you to be the real deal, the real McCoy, because Jesus is worth it. And the change that he will make in your life, let's just do a little poll here right now. Anybody here who decided that I want to turn my life over to Jesus because I found out that the price and the wages of sin were worse, and that the cost of following Jesus, no matter how high it was, is way better than following the devil? Anybody here would say, that's my testimony. Jesus is way better. Come on, wave your hands at me. Give a shout to the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. And so, Jesus, my prayer today is, Lord, that we would be willing to pay the price, whatever it is that you ask of us. And the price is whatever we have. Everything that we are surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus. God, if there's anybody here who has tried to play some kind of a game with Christianity and tried to wear the t-shirt without really having the goods, God, my prayer is today that we just kind of have a come to Jesus meeting time where we just allow you, Holy Spirit, to speak to us, to challenge us, put your finger on the stuff in our life that we've not surrendered to you, and say, I want that gone, and I want that gone, and I want you to do better at this, and I want you to start working on that. Or whatever it is that you want to say, I ask you to speak individually right now, Holy Spirit. Or maybe there are some of us who we are Christians, we are disciples, we love you, Jesus, we do, we love you with all of our heart. But even sometimes disciples like Peter get rebuked because the flesh rises up. Sometimes we let things come into our life that doesn't need to be there, and Holy Spirit, you so lovingly pointed out to us. Lord, if there are things in our life that need to be surrendered to you, help us, Father. Help us to choose, yes, I will repent. Yes, I will turn away. Yes, I will seek your forgiveness. Yes, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be a true follower of Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, where we've tried to get some kind of bargain Christianity that's really not worth anything at all. Lord, cause us to purchase the real thing. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior, but you know that your life's a mess, it's going in the wrong direction fast, and you're like, I'm here at church today because just maybe God is the answer to the problems in my life. This message today should not scare you off. It should make you realize that, yeah, there's a high price to being a Christian. But it is worth it, it is worth it, it is worth it, it is worth it. You'll never, ever regret the day that you asked Jesus Christ to forgive you and to become your Lord and Savior. And so I'm not going to water down the gospel today any more than Jesus did, but I want to ask if there are those today that are willing to give up everything so that you can become a Christian. You're willing to surrender everything in your life. I know that sounds like a tough ask, but I'm just putting it out there because I don't want you to get something cheap, this imitation that isn't real. I want you to get the real Jesus 100%. And if you're here today and you know that you need to ask Jesus to come into your heart and become your Lord and Savior, I want to pray for you right now. Would you just raise your hand? Would you raise your hand? You know that you need Jesus. I see your hand. Is there anyone else looking around? Thank you. I see your hand. Anybody else? Yes, I see your hand. I know that I need Jesus to become my Lord and Savior. Wow. A number of people who have raised their hand here in this place today. Maybe there's some that are watching online and you're saying that in your heart. You're saying, I know that I need Jesus. I know that I need Jesus. And whatever I got to pay, it's worth it because Jesus was willing to go to the cross and pay the ultimate price to forgive me of all my sin. As you raise your hand this morning, as you mean that, I want to ask you to, right where you are, this is between you and God, but would you just let me lead you in a simple prayer where you're saying to Jesus, I'm ready to die completely to myself and follow you, be a disciple of Jesus. Would you just pray? In fact, all over this room today, can we just all pray this out loud together? And again, if you raised your hand, or maybe you didn't, but you know that that's really what you want to do, it's what you need to do, I'm asking you from your heart, would you just from your heart just cry out to God? From your heart, just pray this simple prayer and know that God is going to hear your prayer and answer your prayer, and he will save you today and change your life starting right now. So let's pray this together. Dear Jesus, I come to you broken, needing you to fix me, to help me, to save me. And I understand the cost of being a disciple is to surrender everything, to give you my whole life in exchange for your free gift of eternal life. And so, God, I give you everything. I surrender everything. I ask you, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all my sin. Help me to turn away from my old life and to turn toward following you with all my heart. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me right now. And I declare by faith that I am a child of God. I have the gift of eternal life because of your great love for me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. Amen. Come on, church, rejoice. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I love it when people make the decision to follow Jesus. I don't know that there's any greater thing that happens in a pastor's life than to see somebody give their life to Jesus. I congratulate you on that decision. I welcome you into the family of God. And here at Spirit Life Church, we want to help you to really become that disciple, to really follow after Jesus with all your heart. So we want to help you. We want to give you some materials, some information. We'd love to get you plugged into our Spirit Life Institute, which is a discipleship program. And so I'm going to ask, if you will, to everyone in this place, just stand up. And then we're going to close in just a moment. I'm going to ask our prayer team, if you'll come, join me down at the front. And if you are one of those who just prayed that prayer and asked Jesus in your life while others are coming, I want to invite you, would you come down? We want to give you this material. We just want to help you get started on the right foot in your walk with Jesus. I see some of them coming right now. Come on, let's just celebrate one more time, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We just welcome these into the family of God today. And if you're here today and you need prayer for anything in your life, our prayer team is here to minister to you, to love on you, to pray with you, to stand in agreement for God to do an amazing work in your life. So I'm going to just dismiss this in prayer. And again, if you made that decision to follow Jesus, come on down, let us pray with you, talk with you, get to know you. If you need prayer for anything, come on down and let us pray with you. Father, Lord, I just thank you today that we have heard the call to be followers and disciples of Jesus. And Lord, we've answered that call and said, yes, Lord, I give you everything. I surrender everything. My life is about you and your plan and your purpose for me from this day forward. Lord, help us to live in a way that pleases you. God, I ask that you meet every need in our lives. Thank you for these who have given their life to Christ today. I pray, Lord, that you would just help them, Holy Spirit, to just begin to walk and to just grow in their walk with you. And we give you the praise for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. God bless you, Spirit Life Church. We'll see you next time.